And Shavuot Tov. I want to share with you some thoughts that I spoke about this Shabbat in light of Parashat Yitro. And I want to try to understand a very important psychological phenomenon which is taking place right before our very eyes in the world that we live in today. And I want to go back to a story, a really fascinating and bizarre story that took place on February 3rd, 1969. A certain plane was hijacked, traveling from New York to Miami. But this hijacking was different than any other hijacking in the history of the world. See, for the first 20 minutes of the flight, everything seemed very normal. Until a man gets up, pulls a knife out, takes one of the stewardesses, goes to the front of the plane and tells the pilot, "You take me to Cuba or else I'm going to kill the stewardess, and there's also a bomb in the back of the plane and that's going to explode." So the pilot, his name was Fred Weaver, and the story, by the way, is 100% true. He gets on the intercom and he says, "Folks, there are some people here who would like to go to Cuba. So we are heading towards Havana." As you can imagine, people are petrified. Everyone's frightened. People are crying and yelling, and they don't know what to do. They're just scared for their lives. And then something very bizarre happened, because it turns out there was a particular man on the plane whose name was Alan Funt. And Alan Funt was the producer of a very well-known TV show in the 1960s, which was called Candid Camera. And Funt was the first person to ever experiment with reality TV. What would he do? He would put people in uncomfortable circumstances. Someone would order a coffee at a coffee shop, and he'd get this very small cup of coffee, and he'd start complaining and saying, "I'm very frustrated. This is not the cup of coffee that I ordered." And the things would sort of build up, and tension and conflict would build up, and then there'd be this big reveal, and it'd be like, they'd say, "Smile, you're on Candid Camera." And all the tension would relax, and people would start laughing. And the point of the show was to capture, to get like a perspective on human nature, what people are really like, you know, in real life. Because of course, anything that's in front of a camera is show. It's not real. And so he was trying to capture that on film. Now, Alan Funt is sitting in first class on this plane ride, and some woman spots him in first class, and she turns to her friend and says, "Hey, isn't that Alan Funt?" And she says, "Yeah, that's the guy, that's Alan Funt." And so she gets up on the plane. Remember, this is the middle of a hijacking. And she says, "Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are not being hijacked. It's a candid camera stunt." And everyone sees Alan Funt and they start laughing. They're going crazy. And they're cheering and stomping their feet. And they're saying, "Hey, he's pulling one of his stunts on us." And people are feeling relieved and relaxed. Some people got up and tried to get his signature. And he's telling them, "Listen, please, I'm begging you, I have nothing to do with this. This is a real hijacking." At one point, the hijacker comes out of the cockpit, turns around, and everyone starts applauding and screaming for him and yelling. You know, they're celebrating. Now, a few hours later, the plane arrives, it lands, and Cuban military personnel with machine guns and bullets get onto the plane, and people realize, oh, this is the real thing. And they realize they really were being hijacked. And people were furious when they were getting off the plane. They were yelling and cursing at Alan Funt. And there's so much in this story to unpack, and I want to focus on one aspect of it. And that is that what Alan Funt did is that he blurred the lines between fantasy and reality. He helped people to realize that sometimes when you're watching a TV show, which seems staged, it sort of could be real. But people also took a lesson from here that sometimes when something is real, there's a real hijacking, they might start to think that it's fantasy. And the question is, what is it that motivated people on this plane to imagine that they were part of this TV show of Candid Camera and not experiencing a hijacking? And I think a certain incident in this parasha, in Parashat Yitro, lends insight to this. Because the Jewish people are standing at Har Sinai, listening to the Aseret HaDibrot, and they are so afraid, and they say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayomru el Moshe, daber atay imanu v'nishma'a, v'al yidaber imanu Elohim penamu." They say, "Moshe, please, have Hashem stop. You speak to us. You give us the rest of the Torah. We don't want to hear it from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're trembling here. We're afraid we're going to die." And Moshe says, "Vayomer Moshe al'am al tirahu." Don't worry. And this is what happens, in fact, that Moshe relates the rest of the Torah instead of the Jewish people hearing it from Hashem. Was this a good thing? Was it a bad thing? The Rashbam suggests, and this is not the only reading, but the Rashbam suggests, "V'ilmalei she'amrukach yesh lomar she'aya omer lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol mitzvot mipiv." If they hadn't done this, the Jewish people would have heard all of the mitzvot from Hashem. Now, how do we understand this incident? And I think that what's happening here is that the Jewish people are trying to escape the responsibility of taking upon themselves the mitzvot. They say to themselves, listen, if Moshe tells us the mitzvot instead of Hashem, somehow the reality of this, the burden, the responsibility of carrying the mitzvot will not really be on our shoulders. This is a form of escapism. It's a form of denialism. And they are running away from taking responsibility and exercising true freedom as Ovdei Hashem. And this is, in fact, the narrative throughout the Torah. The Jewish people are running away from their responsibility, running away from exercising true freedom and engaging in escapism. And what do? They create this fantasy that if somehow Moshe tells them the mitzvot instead of Hashem, well, it won't be so bad. It won't be the same thing. They could somehow evade responsibility for this. And this is the Jewish people embracing a slavery mentality instead of freedom. Similarly, smile, you're on candid camera, gave the people who are being hijacked on this plane the ability to walk into a fantasy, to hold onto a fantasy instead of engage with reality, instead of confront the reality that they were really being hijacked. Because the human psyche, the human mind, we always want to, we would prefer to live in a fantasy than have to deal and confront with reality. And I think that what happens here in this story is very insightful and illuminating in terms of what's happening today in our world. Today, there are so many conspiracies rampant on social media. All these different groups are being blamed for the things that we're experiencing today. The elite, the media, the left, the right, there's QAnon, the Jews. There are all these different conspiracies that are out there. Big Pharma, who's trying to kill us with their vaccines, the deep government swamp. Everybody's got a conspiracy theory. And even intelligent, thoughtful people believe in these things today. Someone was telling me, in Ranana here, that this new vaccine is actually it's a holocaust that that these drug companies are trying to bring upon us. Now, why do so many people believe in these outrageous and ridiculous and delusional conspiracy theories, even smart people? And I think the answer is that conspiracy theories give people a sense of control. When they feel that things are out of their control and they want an easy answer and there are complex problems that in reality that they don't want to face, so they start to believe in fantasies, delusional fantasies that give them a sense of control. They could seize control when they are feeling out of control. So when you're stuck on a hijacked plane, or when you're experiencing a challenge in life, it's much easier to assume that you are living a fantasy, or that some conspiracy theory is the cause for your misery, instead of having to confront reality. But we know that as B'nai Torah, that we have to confront reality, and we have to stand up to the challenges that we face. The Jewish people are chided. The Jewish people lose out from hearing the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly because they're not willing to confront reality, because they would prefer to be slaves than free men. And in our own lives, we need to confront reality. We need to confront the truth, not run away from it, not engage in conspiracy theories, not rely on fantasies, but instead we have to see reality as it is and address it. And in that sense, we will be true B'nai Torah. And we know there's a notion, there's an idea in Pirkei Avot that a bat kol comes out from Har Sinai every single day. We have to embrace that bat kol of truth, of reality, and stand up for this and engage reality and embrace reality and confront reality in our everyday lives. Wishing you a great day. Shavua Tov. Kol Tov.